So no one told you life was gonna be this way. Girl. No claps? Nothing?
No, because I've read these issues and I'm sad and I'm mad that I'm sad. I have no happy friend song in me.
Oh my God. All I could think of was Friends when I saw the whole thing about like six strangers brought together, which is not even Friends. That's more like the real world.
I mean, that's
world.
Fair. That's fair.
Yeah. But it's kind of, it's more like the real world, but also, which is kind of funny because Judd Winnick, who wrote this, was on the real world. So anyway, hi guys. Welcome back to Simply Amazing. We are your number one podcast about Nightcrawler, all things, everything Nightcrawler and Nightcrawler related, even Nightcrawler adjacent. I mean, we're going to talk about Barbie. I can't wait to talk about
We are going to talk about Barbie and how Kurt would be the best Ken ever. Or maybe he is something even beyond a Ken. Maybe the new male companion will be Kurtz going forward. Who knows what'll happen?
It could be. I mean, okay. If you follow me on Twitter, you have seen me posting my Barbie collection, which by the time this comes out, I might have posted all of it. I don't know. I haven't even gone through all of it. I actually was on the phone today with my mother. Oh, by the way, hi, I'm Lisa, aka Nocturne. Of course, this is Lauren, aka Friendly Neighborhood Bi. Anyway, so
I was get that out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Let's get that out of the way. I called my mother to be like, you and Dad, when I come down next, we have to check the attics because I know there's more Barbie stuff that I haven't found yet. Like I still like three boxes to go through, and I still know that there's more Barbie stuff that I haven't found yet. So the Barbie content's coming. It's coming hard.
Yes.
And
coming hard. That's what she said.
And I am very deep into like the Barbie fandom and lore. So
very
it's like,
deep. That's also what she said.
That is what she said. Like, I know about Barbie. I know about Midge. I know about Skipper. I know about Stacy. I know about Christy, who no one talks about Christy. So anyway, but we're not here to talk about Barbie today. We are here to talk about the source of Lauren's depression currently.
I mean, for real, like I haven't fully processed. I'm going to be going through the grieving process. It's painful.
Yeah, it is. It is a tough two issues. And the ending is like, it is a stake in the heart because it's so, okay.
It's an injustice is what it is. Like I'm trying to think of what like is a similar equivalent to it because like there's been television stuff I've watched, film, things like that, where it reminds me, okay, one thing I just thought of, this isn't an exact equivalent, but it reminds me of The Hunger Games, which spoiler alert, if you haven't read all those books yet or seen movies or whatever, go do that, whatever. But and the third book, you know, Katniss's sister Prim gets killed by a bomb that her best friend Gale creates, and it's just like, are you fudging kidding me? And it kind of comes out of nowhere. Like there's not a lot of build up to it. It just stabs you in the gut, just like it stabs Katniss in the gut. And that's how I thought after reading this. I'm like, I've been shot. It's fine.
Yeah, I will say that Judd Winnick is a masterful writer in that he in really two issues. He made us care about a couple we didn't even know about up until this point, really.
Yeah.
And then ripped our heart out. But we'll get to all that. Let's start at the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning here. And this starts. This is issue 9 of Exiles. We're doing issues 9 and 10. If we haven't made that clear yet. and this issue starts out with Mimic fighting a alternate reality version of Captain America, which they just call him the Captain in this Skrull world. They don't call him Captain America. And I thought this was kind of an interesting commentary on Captain America as a character, because his whole thing is basically like, okay, so the Captain was created by the Skrulls. Like they did some little, their own little DNA testing and whatever. And they created the Captain as these super soldiers they were trying to create. And they're very clear that he's not on the human side. He considers himself to be among the Skrulls and like he's one of them, which it's kind of interesting because, you know, it's like it tracks because Captain America kind of embodies whatever he has, right? So he's like this great patriot because he's Captain America.
But that's a stereotype too. I mean, I think it's important that they don't call him Steve Rogers. They call him Captain America, as in he never got to have his own identity.
Yes,
which Steve Rogers has, because Captain America, you're absolutely right, is made, you know, as we know, to be this big sign of patriotism in America and to follow government orders. Steve Rogers, right, he goes past that when he has that mantle, right, because he says, I don't just follow orders blindly. I do what's right for the people I represent, which is also what the government should do, but whatever. So anyways, that's a whole other thing.
We're talking about superpowered beings. Let's keep it real, okay?
You're right. But anyways, and so I think that's an important differential. And also, I think it's important that they don't directly say he's on the Skrull side. They just say he's been successfully brainwashed. He was the only one that was successfully brainwashed. And that's important, I think, for what happens in the next issue. But yeah, it's very weird and unsettling at first, for sure.
Yeah. Well, Mimic doesn't like him. Nope. No, he's like, you can't sit with us. And now they're about to have their like big battle royale. It's like the heavyweight championship. They're going for the belt. And Mimic has been holding back one thing this entire time. And that one thing is Cyclops Eyeblast. So out of nowhere, he suddenly eyeblasts the captain and it's over. It's done. The captain is toast. He's defeated immediately.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Lauren.
Hmm.
As someone who has a lot more knowledge of the Marvel Universe than I do, because I really just know mostly about the X-Men. I don't know a lot about other characters. Do you think Cyclops could defeat Captain America that way?
Not with one blast, no. I mean, that makes me look back. Because that's the thing, too. With Cyclops' powers, it's hard because you have to measure how much intensity he's using in his blasts. And you have to, you know, take into account where on the body he hits and, you know, take into account how he has hit other characters that aren't super soldiers and aren't close to invincible. I said close to, like Captain America is, and they haven't died in one hit. So yeah, that stood out to me as well. I'm glad you pointed out, because I don't think that makes sense. But I do see why it was written that way. So I'm not going to like harp and be like, that should have never happened. Like, no.
Yeah.
I personally don't care, because the whole point is to introduce this character who we clearly all see a certain way in other circumstances. And then we have to clear him out of the way to proceed through the rest of the plot that's happening in this. I don't think it's something that should have been cut out. Like it was necessary.
Yeah. I think the way it makes sense for me, because I agree, I don't think that Cyclops' blast can necessarily defeat Captain America specifically in like one go like that. I think for me, it's twofold. I think number one, so Cyclops is able to control the intensity of his blasts, but it's not something innate. It's not something that he can actually do. It's because he has the visor that he can control the intensity. So number one, Cal doesn't have a visor. So it's just straight, like 100% Cyclops eye beams, right? Mm-hmm. And the other thing is it completely took Captain off guard. Like he was just so surprised by it, and it hit him so hard, and he was so surprised by it that it put him in a daze. So I could see that being part of it too. It's like when something hits you and you don't expect it, it hits a little bit harder sometimes than.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point, because I mean, spoiler alert, we see later he's not dead. Mimic didn't kill him.
No, he's just taken out. Yeah.
It's like a UFC fight that, you know, doesn't go the worst, right? You get KO'd, you move on with your life. Like that's how those go. So kind of similar thing here, wasn't to the death.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So moving on, we're going back to Reed Richards' house, and where Sam and Reed are working with Blink and Morph to try and figure out how they're going to get them out of the games and what they're going to do next. And before they really can even devise a plan or come up with anything, they get this communication beacon from the Skrulls that for some reason the Skrulls can't reach out to their motherships or their anyone that any of the ships that are in orbit. And that's very odd because there's no reason they shouldn't be able to do that. And they find out that the reason that they can't reach any of the motherships is because Galactus is coming, which we found out that in the last issue. So it's not a spoiler this time.
Yeah. Facts.
Facts. Truth. So yeah, the Skrulls like literally just put everything they have into their ships and they are gone. Like they...
Well, like... I think it's important to know one of their ships or whatever can hold millions of people. How?
I mean, listen, they are gone quicker than like your gross cousin is the day before eviction. Like it, they are gone. They move very fast. They get the hell out of here.
I think they said it was like 3 hours. I was like, God dang, we can't evacuate a neighborhood block that quickly.
I mean, let me tell you, I grew up on Long Island and good luck if you're trying to get off that island, like on a good day without, you know, the millions of people trying to get up. Like I love the movie Deep Impact. I'm quite a big fan of that movie. And that one scene where the big tidal wave comes, I'm like, oh, Long Island, you're fucking toast. You're dead. You're, like, just enjoy it. Make, have a barbecue. Enjoy your last minutes because you're not going anywhere. Right. So, but they don't have traffic because they're in spaceships.
No space traffic.
No space traffic. So they get the hell out. While they're leaving, all of a sudden, all of the little cells open up and all of the safety things fall off in the cells for the games. And everybody's kind of like, oh, what the fuck is going on? Like, why are we being let out? And what should we do? And Peter Parker is like, let's get the fuck out of here. I mean, like, I'm not staying here. And they get out just in time to see Galactus's Herald, which who is this guy again? I forget this guy's fucking name.
Tarak? I don't freaking know.
Yeah, like too many Heralds, Galactus. Pick one, you know, pick one and stick with
it. If it's not Silver Surfer, I don't care. I'm sorry. I just don't care.
Basically, yes, basically. Okay. And also, so there's this thing. Okay. For those of you who have not been around the fandom for over 20 years, there is this thing called the Galactus blog, which I'm going to try and convince Lauren to let me do a...
I already said yes. What do you mean convince? Yes.
Literally after we record this, we're going to do it and I'm going to dramatically read it to you.
Jesus Christ.
It's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited because it's hilarious, but it's Gail Simone and it's so funny. Anyway.
Listen, that's how she sold it to me. I was like, what the hell is that? Like, Galactus is one of my favorite villains, but what does that have to do with Kerr? And she was just like, well, Gail Simone did it. And I was like, okay, sold.
Yeah, there you go. See? So yeah, they've got this guy and now they're fighting him. And basically the whole point of the Heralds, which I never really, I get that they kind of say in this is the Heralds go there first to kind of stir up the drama and get like distract things. So Galactus can just come in and chomp, chomp, like eat him up. So they're all fighting him. I mean, everybody has gotten out. It's this whole thing about how, you know, they've been prisoners and now that they have freedom, they're going to fight for it and da 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 la 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 big songs. Like, you know, like it's like this, it's like, you know, the scene at the end of Endgame. So, you know, they're all running to fight the Herald and to fight Galactus. But you know, it's not really doing much. They're not doing a good job. Hulk even gets involved. Thing gets involved. Everybody's there. And,
you know, I gotta say, that's one thing that I've enjoyed about this series so far that we haven't talked too much about. We've kind of hinted at it, though, is this Exiles brings two fandoms together that are actually very hard to bring together. And that's the X-Men and the Avengers. Also, the Fantastic Four have been brought in. So you have all these different bigger Marvel fandoms. They're able to bring into one series and do it well while still focusing on their main cast and the story they're telling. Like, that's not something that is done hardly ever. I mean, so many events that are made to be for this kind of thing fail at it, or they don't do as great a job as Exiles has by any measure. So full kudos to Exiles for pulling this shit off.
I couldn't possibly agree more. I think that the thing that Exiles does really well is that they are able to keep the story going with their main characters through all these different arcs that go to different locations. you know, and that's hard. It's not easy to do that, you know, because so it, he, yeah, it's very well done, especially Judd Winnick on it. I mean, I don't know if we'll ever get to the point where someone else takes over because I don't know how long we're going to do this, but I mean, Exile is not the podcast. We're going to do the podcast forever. But, but yeah, no, they do a great job of that. And like basically everybody from Marvel shows up in Exiles eventually. I mean, I'm trying to think like Inhumans show up eventually. We've already seen Alpha Flight. So like there's a ton of different, like everybody shows up eventually. And it's kind of funny you talk about like this book being specifically like this marriage of Avengers and X-Men, because you know what is the product of a marriage of Avenger and X-Men? It's Nocturne. So there you go.
Got him.
There you go. Got him. All right. So there is a beautiful reunion between Mimic and Blink, and they're like making out immediately. And I, my whole thing is this. Mimic has been stewing in his own juices for months, fighting, and he has not had a toothbrush at all. So, girl.
I mean, but we've also never been in Blink shoes of, like, not seeing the person that you love in a significant way, like a romantic way, for X amount of time. So I'm not judging her for it. But, yeah, I hope that after that she's like, okay, the desperation has worn off. Go brush your teeth.
Yeah, it, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds. Did you ever watch True Blood?
I watched a couple episodes.
Never oh my god! Okay, it. I recommend you watch like the first couple seasons because they're freaking amazing. It, and then it gets really bad. Actually, the second season's terrible, and then the third season's amazing. I think that's the one. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, in True Blood, in the first season, there's like this scene where Sookie is in like the graveyard and she's crying because she thinks Bill's dead. But then Bill comes up out of the ground naked and immediately starts fucking her. And I feel like it was written. I feel like it was written to be so sexy and so like hot. But all I could think of was like, oh my God, I hope she has a douche at home because like she is going to be filled with microorganisms and bacteria.
That's a whole other level. That is like, that is. There's desperation and there's what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, find a wall, find a court, something. Like, even against a tree is better than, like, I don't know how it was. I guess you didn't say it, but I'm assuming it was on, like, the bare dirt ground. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah, no, absolutely not. So, basically, we end this first issue now with the Exiles have taken charge and they've decided, like, they're taking charge of this because they're the only real leaders there. And, you know, they look at Blink and Mimic and they're like, hey, girl, what's the plan? We got a plan? And Blink and Mimic are like, yeah, we got a plan. Totally got a plan. And guess what? They ain't got a plan. But we move straight into Exiles number 10.
Ah!
I know. This is the one. This is the one.
This is the one. So if y'all ain't ready for this, get ready. Get your pillow ready. Get your blankets ready. Get your favorite show to cry on. If you like to get angry before you are super sad, then you know go do what you gotta do. Go work out. Go do something. But like, man, I'm upset on my spaghetti. Please,
yes,
continue,
no, yeah, this would be a perfect time for a BetterHelp ad. So BetterHelp, call us.
Call us. We got plenty of space for you.
Yeah, exactly. We're ready because let me tell you, we probably should have called you a long time ago. So we get like a little, you know, backstory. Galactus is here. They're going to fight him. They're trying to figure out now the Exiles, who are their leaders of this, of all these superheroes who've never seen anything like this before. And we see Man-Thing is in there. We see Cyclops is in there. We see what's Crystal is in there from the Inhumans. So, and they are just like, we don't, you know, they're trying to figure out what are they going to actually do? How are they going to fight this guy?
You know, you just do some random shit and hope it works. I mean, that's basically what they do too. Like that's you know, they have a couple specific, you know, things. Like, let's get like this kind of little bomb. That one didn't work. Let's do missiles. Those didn't work. Let's get an antimatter bomb.
Yes. So the antimatter bomb is what they decide on that they're going to use against him. And, you know, Blink is there giving out directions and telling people like, okay, you're going to be here. You're going to be here. And she was like, Reed, you're going to stay here in the command center, you know, with everything. And then John just like interrupts like a man, just like can't wait for a woman to stop talking before he speaks. But whatever.
We love him, but he's got some issues.
He's got subscriptions. But John jumps in to say that he thinks Nocturne should stay back. He doesn't think she should go out in the field. And it's like, bitch, I know.
I knew it. I called it last time. Didn't I? They fucked. And yes. Now, spoiler alert, she is pregnant, everyone. So now John is being all overprotective, blah, blah, blah. The others check in. They're like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, good, fine. I got to do this anyway. Then John gets more huffy. And then who is it? Mimic, I think, that's like, hey, dude, we're going to die either way. So, like, she's not really safe anywhere. You might as well, like, this is going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, she has to go because she's the best pilot. And they have these moments, which are, I just love these moments where, you know, John says he's the father, and then Morph is just like, well, that answers the question about if everything works. And Marisa's like, shut the fuck up. But then you have this page that is like a heart. And this is where Calvin says, it was Mimic who says, you know, that if, you know, it doesn't really matter if she stays back or she comes with us, because if we fail, we all die anyway. So you might as well put, you know, throw everything at it. And, you know, they have a cute little moment. TJ and John have a cute little moment. And like Mariko is really overcome and she's really sad about it. And it's a very cute moment for her too, because she's just like, you know, it's so unfair, because this should be such a happy moment. It's so unfair that that's being taken from them. But I mean, they're exiles. What do you want? I mean, you know.
We get exiled, including our emotions.
It's not like they got anybody, you know, mom's not there to throw the baby shower. So, you know, get to work, Mariko.
Where the hell is Kurt? God damn it. Where's Kurt? Where's Wanda?
I mean, back home wondering where the fuck their daughter is. I mean, don't come down on them. They're not having a good time either.
I've seen what Wanda does for her children. It is, I'm just kidding. But also, it is unrealistic. She won't go looking for her kid and tear up every reality.
No, you're right, actually. It's like, you know, you're right, but like that canon very much comes from the MCU. Because, like, not to say comic Wanda wouldn't fucking destroy everything for her kids. I mean, she did. She did House of M. But
well, that's it. You're saying that's not bad enough, Lisa? That's plenty bad.
No, you're right. You're right. Fair. You're right. So, but I don't know. Maybe, like, you know, they're like, TJ's 20. Like, they're like, they go to the police and they're like, we want to, you know,
ain't no way.
Missing ain't person. No way. And the police are like, well, she's an adult. She's allowed to disappear on her own. And they just can't do anything.
No. I'm pitching it to Marvel. I want to see the lost story of that Kurt and Wanda looking for Nocturne while all this shit with the exiles is happening. Thank you.
So the other thing, which has never been made clear in Exiles, is there's a chance that their home worlds kind of pause while they're away. But I don't know. It doesn't matter. Like, we never find out anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. So basically what they do, the first thing they do is they throw every goddamn missile, bomb, anything they have at Galactus, hoping it will bring him down, and doesn't do much, doesn't do anything, in fact. So they're working on their next plan, which involves this big, I don't really understand this, it's this big metal thing that they're trying to...
I don't understand any of that shit. I don't think it matters if I get it or not.
No, it doesn't, because the captain shows up with all his people and they go after him and they start fighting him. Then the mole man comes out with all the mole people and he explodes the mole home, which then I think Galactus falls into the ground and that pulls out his shield. So everybody can go and start fighting. And while everybody goes and starts fighting, Hulk is there with the antimatter bomb to try and get it there as soon as possible and to try and get it into Galactus. But Hulk gets punched out. And then what?
He's beside himself. He is Neo and he is no longer an option. So in case you guys listening have already guessed, guess who is an option to finish the job, though, everyone? You already know where this is going.
It's Thunderbird. John gets straight up dinosaur like, you know, like into his most bestial form. And he, there's this whole thing about, it's kind of an interesting thing about how his, I mean, I am not Native American, so I can't speak for that, but I thought it was interesting that they juxtaposed the idea of him being Native American and everything he's done with Apocalypse. And it just goes back to his whole life being about sacrifice and like being, having been in the Marines or the Army, wherever he was, he said he was. So, you know, I thought that was interesting.
That was, I will say, the lead up to, you know, John being the one to have to, you know, take the bomb and finish the job and leading up to the, it was, that is some of the, I really have enjoyed Exile so far. I think that's some of the best writing in this entire run so far. Yes. It is so well done.
It's, and it goes to show you like everything he is. I think that what's really powerful about this entire moment is it goes through everything he is, everything he's ever been, the, you know, all of his life has led to this moment and this sacrifice that he's making. And he's making the sacrifice for a very, very specific reason. Mm-hmm. And it's because of Nocturne and because she's pregnant. Like, that is why he's, like, it's not to say he wouldn't make the sacrifice otherwise, but it's so much more important for him right now because, you know, he's, the fact that he was able to father a child is something that he never thought could happen in his life, is something that is so, we saw that when we read Exiles 16, you know, it's something, and it's one of those things that brings him back to humanity, because he's always talked about how he feels like he's lost so much of his humanity, and Apocalypse took so much away from him. And, you know, there's nothing more human than, like, not to say that, of course, you know, if you can't have children, you're not human. I'm just saying, like, that is such a human quality to be able to create a child with another human. So,
yeah. I mean, I think too, like, I mean, absolutely that specifically, but I think the bigger picture for me was, you know, he finally has something, someone personal for him that's worthy of sacrifice. Like, yes. Because he's had so much anger about all these other sacrifices that his people have had to go through, that people he cared about went through, that he has gone through. He sacrificed so much, and for what? You know, in the past it was, for what? Why did I do this? Why did I allow Apocalypse to, you know, like, and so now he has Talia and a potential child that he cares about that are worthy of the sacrifice, despite all his other misery and pain and anger and everything he's been through. He can push that aside for those people.
Yes. And so his last word is Talia, and he manages to plant the bomb into Galactus, which it explodes, and it doesn't even kill Galactus. Galactus is just like, all right, this is too much work, I'm out of here.
Yeah, it's like, basically, you know, he's like, this is a nuisance, I'm going home. And so he just boom, teleports away.
Yeah, it's like when I get wings that are too spicy, it's just like, no, not for me, thank you. No, thank you. Come on.
No thanks. That's basically it for him, because he's trying to eat the planet. He really said, too much spice, I'm out.
Yeah, this planet's too spicy, I gotta get out of here.
No peppers, not in the mood. Jalapeno is my level tonight, I'm out.
That's it, exactly. I mean, who wants to eat food that fights back? Not me. That's why I don't call my food, because gross. But unfortunately, what wasn't even more than like just a pain in the ass to Galactus really like hurt John a lot, and he ends up, you know, he's not dead, but he's not doing good either. And basically, Mariko lets TJ know that he's in a coma, but he might be brain dead. And they're, you know, TJ's response is basically like, all right, well, I mean, it's not like people can't come out of comas, you know, that happens. So we're just going to hang out and we'll wait for him until he comes out of the coma, because we can't leave. I mean, right?
Nope. And nope. No. Exactly. And then it's like, actually, poof. Buddy pops up, says, hey, guess what? I'm a new part of your team. And also, we gotta go.
Yes. So yeah, Blink tries to like be gentle about it, but then Sasquatch has the awkwardest introduction, I feel like, in a comic book. because she just shows up and she's like, hey, I'm your new member. You know, we like Time Broker says it's time to go. We got to go. So, and she has no idea what's going on. She has no idea that.
Yeah, like, no idea that, like, Guy is basically on his deathbed and that, you know, Nocturne has his child and blah, 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 blah. Nocturne doesn't want to leave. But yeah, it's just like, it's time to go. And I was at that moment reading this just like Nocturne in this moment. What? No, absolutely not. We can't go. Are you absolutely kidding me? I will stay. I will. You guys go. I'll stay. And then Blink's all just like, you know, that's not how it works. And
yeah. Yeah. So, of course, they blink away and they leave John and he's stuck there and he stays there in a coma.
Just as like Nocturne is panicking, she's like, no, no, John. Of course, that's immediately when they poof away. And then you just see John laying there with these other, you know, the random people in that world by himself. And then the bottom right just says end. I'm like, I'm out. I can't do this.
It's
my emotions have been exiled.
It's brutal. It is brutal, but it's really well done, really well executed.
It is.
And it acts as a lesson to all of us. Don't shit where you eat. Don't date a coworker.
What the fuck, Lisa? That's not the lesson here. The lesson is life is an ass sometimes and you can't do anything about it and you gotta learn to cope.
Yeah, of course. You know, also just don't fuck your coworkers. I mean, it's really not that hard. I mean,
who else were they gonna fuck?
You are literally going from planet to planet, world to world, and you will never see those people again. Fuck yeah, anybody. Fuck
but
anybody.
They don't want that. They actually want a relationship. God, Lisa.
Oh my God. Yeah, a relationship with you know, a person that they can't even take back to their own reality. Like, come on, guys.
All right. Well, Lisa, you can be an exile since you've got this all figured out. It will not be me.
Thank you. I will go to exiles. I will not fuck any of them. I promise. Well,
bullshit.
Yeah, true. True. So yes. So there you go. John is gone. John is out for the count for the moment. He, you know, I'm not gonna say anything else. I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah. Yeah, he's out. Spoilers, Lisa. What the hell?
No spoilers. He's out. And yeah, they're moving on to their next reality. And so the next issue is kind of like a buffer issue. Well, actually, I don't remember what happens next. But oh no, the next issue I think is a buffer issue. And then yeah, so we'll keep going. We'll keep reading this. We are also going to read the Galactus blog, which I am so excited about. And yeah, so thank you guys for coming and listening to us again and reading Exiles with us. I am so happy to be sharing this with you guys because it, again, is my absolute favorite comic book of all time. And I'm making Lauren agree.
This week, you can blame Lisa for all your sadness and depression.
Yes, you can blame me. Please, just don't bill me. yeah, my hours are not billable because they're priceless.
What a fucking mood.
I know, right? So that was actually a good quote. I should make a t-shirt of that. it'll just be t-shirt on Reddit that I'm the only one who I've bought. I'm the only one who's ever bought merch from us. So like, but I love it. I love all of the merch that I've created. So it doesn't matter.
It's iconic.
Okay. So anyway, welcome. Thanks. Okay, welcome. Let's say thanks again for coming, guys. You know, you can find us on our socials, on our website, simplyamazingpod.com. Find all our socials there. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitch. We're on YouTube-ish. We're everywhere, basically. So just come find us. Lauren, where can they find you for all your stuff? Tell us about the show.
You guys can find my personal Twitter at FriendlyMBHDBI. I am currently still waiting to figure out if there's another social media that we'll actually all go to and stay at. But until that happens, I'm not joining any more of these other sites people are trying because I'm tired.
I am interested in Blue Sky, so help me out. Give me a code. I want to go to Blue Sky because that's where the Twitter guy went. So,
oh, do you need a code? Is that how that works? Because I've been thinking about that one because that's what everybody's saying right now. But like, I know how fast things can die out with these things.
I mean, Twitter is just ridiculous at this point. It's like, it's just ridiculous. So, I'm just not interested in lining the pockets of billionaires. So, but yeah, we'll tell you where we go when we go there. But for now, we're on Twitter and all that stuff. And yeah, again, like, let us know if you like us. We want to hear from you. Subscribe, Send us emails, send us tweets, send us whatever you want. You know, it's all good. And if you are out there and you are also depressed, you can try BetterHelp, but I'm not going to say much more than that because they're not paying me. But you're still simply amazing.